It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Cynthia Schuster in for Rob Farid. You're with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, from inches to miles, we'll look at the unique origins of American measurement systems and why the USA never went metric despite a big push in the 1970s.
First, in the aftermath of the shooting of 18-year-old Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, there's been considerable outrage directed at the officer implicated in the shooting. For our next guest, the story hits close to home. 10 years ago, Michael Bell's 21-year-old son was shot and killed outside of his home in Kenosha.
Since then, Bell has pushed for Wisconsin to pass a law requiring an outside agency to conduct investigations in police-related deaths, a law that ultimately passed in the last legislative session. He says our country is simply not paying enough attention to the lack of accountability in police departments and the way it affects all of us, regardless of race or ethnicity.
Michael Bell joins us now. He's a retired lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Air Force and just wrote a piece for Politico magazine called What I Did After Police Killed My Son. Michael, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me on your show.
Well, as you watch the story unfold in Ferguson after the police shooting of teenager Michael Brown, what's going through your mind?
Well, a lot of things have gone through my mind. I know what the family feels like, and being a retired Air Force officer, I in many ways feel I know what the law enforcement people must be going through. It's very hectic. For the family, though, they're going through some very tragic moments. The best way I can describe it is it felt like a car fell on me. I mean, to get a phone call that your son is shot. I was upset, too, when they released the autopsy photos, or not photos, but drawings, because I did notice that one or two of the shots were in the head. And in my own son's case, an officer took a gun and placed it directly to my son's head and shot him in front of his mother and sister. And very, very tragic for our whole family. So I carried all those emotions with me when I watched the mom on TV over the last day or two.
Hmm. And it's been 10 years since your son was shot and killed, but it still sounds like it's fresh to you.
Well, you know, we've been fighting for this for a long time, and our family has done a lot of work with counselors and so forth. But you can't fight this effort and do the things that we did by changing laws and so forth without keeping that wound a little bit open.
You've written that there's good reason to think that, quote, many of these unjustifiable homicides by police across the country are racially motivated, but there's a lot more going on here. What's the big picture as you see it?
Well, you know, as an Air Force officer, as a professional, I couldn't come out in the community until I looked at all the different problems that were out there in the nation. And we took a look at all the civilian review boards and so forth, and I brought in a researcher, and I go, how many shootings are really going on? And when we started looking at things, we could not find, since 1885, an unjustified ruling by a police and fire commission, an inquest, or a police department related to any fatal shooting in the state of Wisconsin, 129 years. And in 2005, we found that there was a shooting in Milwaukee. The department ruled it justified. An inquest jury ruled it justified, but additional information was brought in by citizens, and the DA ended up charging the person. So to me, the problem is a culture issue where accountability is at stake.
What happened to your son, Michael?
My son came home from a night out with friends. To make a long story short, he pulled up in front of his house. An officer met him there. The officers made some false accusations. My son was like, no way, I didn't, you know, do that. The officer tased my son. My son started receiving some physical confrontations. My son ran to the back. He confronted the officer back. And then Michael's mother and his sister came out. They heard commotion. My son was bent over a car. An officer was holding him, and an officer came up and placed a gun to my son's head and fired a fatal shot in front of his mother and sister. We ended up having to hire an investigator, and our investigator uncovered that an officer who claimed that my son had his gun had actually hooked his gun on a broken car mirror. The police department had conducted a review. They had cleared themselves in as soon as 48 hours, and they hadn't even talked to some of the witnesses that were there. There were five eyewitnesses. It was under a large floodlight in a garage, And that's why I said that if a blonde-haired, blue-eyed boy can be shot under a spotlight with five eyewitnesses, and his father is a retired Air Force lieutenant colonel who flew three wars for his country, and we cannot get accountability, then Joe the plumber and Javier the roofer are going to have the same problem that we've had.
Well, you write that it took 6 years to get your wrongful death lawsuit settled. Your family eventually received $1.75 million, and you put that back into police accountability to advocate for that. How did you go about doing that?
Well, the first thing I did is we took out additional advertising in the beginning. We wanted to call out what was going on in Kenosha. And in the beginning, district attorney was running for judge. And if you actually go to the michaelbell.info website, you can see there's a link there that says that this district attorney was being endorsed by every police agency in the county as he was actually reviewing another police-related shooting. And so after he lost his election, he decided to honor the police officers with meritorious service awards. So we ended up taking out ads in the Sun-Times, Chicago Sun-Times, New York Times, and so forth. But when the settlement occurred, we refused to accept a non-disclosure. It was always my intent to tell Michael's story, and I wasn't going to be paid off with a paltry sum of money like that, and because a lot of it went to the attorney, and not be able to share my son's story. So I refused a non-disclosure. The mayor of the city of Kenosha allowed that to happen, and therefore our documents weren't sealed. We ended up using those funds to take out billboards, TV ads, and so forth, and we helped a number of other families who have lost loved ones in the state of Wisconsin. You have to remember that this is just not a Michael Bell effort or a Michael Bell family effort. This is a team. We have fantastic individuals who have been creative, and our whole team has never once thrown a Molotov cocktail. We actually got it done with kindness and respect and good creativity and hard work.
Now, you write that initially, after your son was killed, you told your wife and your daughter to be patient, that investigations took a while to unfold. But eventually you realized that this investigation was not going to be anything that had the kind of integrity you were looking for. You dug deeper. You discovered a problem statewide in Wisconsin where an officer had never been found culpable in years and years, decades and decades. Is this just a problem in Wisconsin? How widespread do you think this is?
I think it's widespread. I think it happens across the nation. And some of the hot spots, Eugene, Oregon, Chandler, Arizona, San Diego, California, those people have actually got to the point where they actually do bring in outside investigators. But Wisconsin is the first one that ever mandated all police-involved shootings in the state of Wisconsin or deaths be reviewed by an outside agency. The biggest reason I urge caution was because of the fact that I, as an Air Force officer, knew how mishap investigations were conducted. Typically, a weapon system was lost, lives were lost, and the United States Air Force brought in an investigative team to look at every detail and say, what really happened here and what could we do to make sure that this doesn't happen again? And that's why I thought if the police agencies reviewed each death like that, then police-related deaths would be on an all-time low.
Well, as you said, you did succeed in your quest, at least here in Wisconsin. We're the first state to pass a law requiring an outside agency to investigate deaths in police custody. Is it enough for you? How far do you want to take this?
Well, originally our bill asked for three parts. A lot of things that are happening out there, nobody has a solution. We have a solution. Our bill had three parts. Make sure that the police officer who has the right to take a life was in a clear frame of mind to either pull the trigger or wield the baton. Make sure that they weren't under the influence of alcohol or some type of painkiller or something like that, because that's what happens in a cockpit and that's what happens in a trucking accident. The second thing we asked for was an outside investigation. A police department should not review itself and clear itself of wrongdoing. Bring in outside professionals, allow them to look at it and let them make a determination, because the data can be corrupted when the department conducts its own investigation. And the last thing that we asked for was an independent review of that by law professionals, not just law enforcement. Take the finest people out there, retired judges, retired DA, criminal justice professors, and law enforcement, put them on a panel and allow them to look at it and make sure that this shooting was valid. And if it wasn't, what can we do to make sure that it doesn't happen again? That's what it needs to go. And that's what we tried to do in Wisconsin. We only got part two. And we're going to go back for parts one and three later on. But I think that if what was going on in Missouri had been under this outside investigation, the distrust that is occurring with law enforcement right now would not occur, and therefore the riots may not be happening.
So is your wish then that this legislation in all parts, not just the first two, but everything you outline there, be a blueprint for the rest of the country?
If you go into the article that I wrote in Politico, and if you go there, we actually have the national ad that we took out in USA Today. And right down in the bottom it says, this can be a national model. Wisconsin could be a national model for the rest of the nation.
Now that you've got the spotlight right now, people are turning to you. You've got this perspective based on what your own family has been through. What is the message you want to send to the American public right now?
Number one, be patient with Ferguson, okay? Like military members, law enforcement are many times our heroes. And I'm telling you right now, we just went through the second anniversary of the Sikh shooting in Oak Creek, and Lieutenant Murphy took a number of bullets for people. You can go back up to Green Bay where a state trooper named Les Bolt got out of his car, sprinted up, and grabbed a woman who was jumping off a bridge to commit suicide. They're many times our hero, okay? But right now, be patient with Ferguson. Allow the facts to happen. But we do wonder that if there wasn't a national attention on this, what would have occurred? Would there have been a truthful investigation down in Ferguson if the national attention wasn't there? That's the message we'd like to send out.
Michael, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me. Take care.
Michael Bell is a retired lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Air Force. We've got a link to his piece, What I Did After Police Killed My Son, on the Central Time Facebook page.